Hello and welcome to the Post-Status Draft podcast. This is actually the Post-Status Draft Publish podcast. It doesn't really work with this nomenclature, but we are live at Post-Status Publish, the first ever Post-Status conference, and we are doing a live version of the podcast. So, yeah.
That means that I've forgotten my intro line.
Oh, yeah. My name is Brian Krogsgaard, and I'm the editor of Post-Status.
And I'm Joe, the co-founder and CTO of Human Made, and welcome to the Draft Post Draft.
Yeah, I knew you were. So welcome to the Post-Status Draft podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So, Joe, we just had a day-long event.
Sure was.
I organized it, so you should probably
it was fantastic,
say great
Brian.
Things about it.
It was absolutely. Everybody that wasn't here, obviously.
Obviously.
Missed out massively.
Our aim tonight is to do a live version of the podcast, but we don't want to rehash everything that happened today. But we do want to have a substantive
large live audience we have here watching.
We have at least 75 people here with us live for the podcast, and we will get questions from the audience. And I can actually in Premiere Pro from Adobe, I can like multiply all these chairs; they'll just be full. Have y'all ever seen that?
It's a we'll do the CGI. Yeah, exactly.
So we wanted to talk a little bit tonight about the immediate future of WordPress, like the next couple of releases, because this is a big milestone with 4.7 with some of the things that are going in. So we're going to talk about the immediate future for a few minutes, and then we're going to get some questions from the folks that have joined us.
Was that a premature question, Daniel, or are you just scratching your head?
I'm just holding the mic, man.
Okay.
So that is Daniel Bachhuber, who is here for his second ever Post-Status
live podcast.
Draft live podcast. And he's going to be an active participant, apparently.
Wants to make his mark. It's okay.
So 4.7 is due to be released in the next week. It may be released by the time some folks listen to this. It's a release that's got a lot going on. Including the REST API. This is where you take your drink, and we can actually do it.
Yeah, we'll obviously have to re-record this podcast if it turns out that it somehow doesn't stick with 4.7.
No. None of that. None of that negativity.
No, you're
so
right.
The REST API is
part of WordPress 4.7.
Part of WordPress 4.7. It's a big milestone podcast. It's a big milestone release.
It's a big milestone for the podcast as well.
It is a milestone for the podcast. We can probably stop talking about it for a little while. So,
okay, hint taken.
Now that 4.7 and its various features are here, and we're looking at the future, what do you see as the roadmap in terms of where WordPress is going from here?
Lots of bug fixing in the REST API. In terms of larger features, as we only decided at the top of this podcast 5 minutes ago, I haven't had a huge amount of time to like dwell on it very much. There is, I think, like for me, a lot of recurring things. You know, every time there's a new release that comes up, you kind of wheel out your laundry list of items that you wish were better. I have a few of those things.
What do you think are some of the most like outstanding pieces?
Things of editorial flow, I think, custom status, things like that have always been one, which is there, like better media handling, video, things like that. Search also, I mean, go on.
What in regards to search?
I don't have a solution for the search one, I should just say.
What do you think is bad about search right now?
So search on the like front end isn't terrible. I think just like searching within authoring content, things like that. Like a thing that was released yesterday, which was really cool, is Amazon released all of their face recognition stuff, right? Now, wouldn't it be quite cool, and I'm not saying that this is a specific thing that works for the core or anything, but if you could have the same level of search that you have on your local computer, right, with facial recognition, things like that, but you actually had that within WordPress also. Right now we have a very rudimentary view of like the MySQL back search. I don't know if that is something that can necessarily be fixed. I just know that is a kind of crappy user experience right now. When you have a large publishing house that has 10,000 media items or something and they're creating content, it's very difficult in WordPress, I think, right now to, you know, we've got to the point as developers, we're creating huge amount of post types and taxonomies taken the approach of the atomic union of content, right? Really pulling out all of that content to different areas of the database, but there still isn't a great way, I think, in terms of UI and searching, of aggregating all of that stuff back together into like a story format or something.
Isn't some of the stuff that's gone into 4.7 media-wise laying a landscape so that there can be a taxonomy on media and
yeah, hopefully, search? Hopefully, and especially like even the PDF previews or something help a lot with that. I think there's a lot more that could be done. And obviously it's incredibly difficult to do those things with the technology that we have in WordPress, where for the foreseeable future, we're going to have the same technology. We just need to come up with better solutions with PHP and MySQL, essentially. And that's going to be difficult.
What do you think we're looking at in terms of a bundled library perspective? Because a lot of the tools du jour are changing for developers out there, but
yeah,
WordPress is pretty committed to things like Backbone or whatever.
Right, and that's I've been involved with that somewhat for 4.7, trying to build some stuff in the admin. Front-end development moves quicker than WordPress development, and also WordPress has a commitment to backwards compatibility that I think WordPress even has prototype still bundled. Maybe.
You can queue prototype straight from WordPress?
I might be wrong on that.
But, that one's probably used a lot.
But we're even in a position
My slider
now.
Plugin enqueues prototype and jQuery. Just for
okay.
backup.
just in case.
Just in case.
So yeah, as to how actually WordPress continues to develop competitively for that type of stuff with libraries, I don't really know. It seems that WordPress only has a way to add things. WordPress doesn't have a way to remove things from its code base, really. And that could be a problem longer term.
Or even really prioritize what's being loaded. I was listening to somebody rant the other day about, I think it was Select 2, and you know, mm-hmm. something like Select 2 or some kind of forms, JavaScript helper thingy is really great from a user experience point of view, but if a plugin decides to bundle it, just registering under a different handle name or something could screw it all up because it could queue two different versions of it and cause all sorts of problems between plugins. So like
that's the problem. I think that's a general problem with front-end development and allowing developers to like use each other's.
Don't some other languages like doesn't Ruby on Rails have like an asset pipeline, for instance?
Yeah,
that helps with that type of stuff.
It does. So WordPress could have maybe more developer frameworks in that regard to help with those things. I'm not sure, given it's quite difficult to get things into WordPress which are like developer-only type stuff. I don't know if the project is really fit up to have something like an asset pipeline. I know there are people that do want it. I just don't think the goals of the project have that in mind, and WordPress isn't everything. Like WordPress isn't trying to necessarily be the best platform for storing any type of data. It's terrible for storing many types of data, but database schema is terrible for a lot of things, but it's kind of made for the few things that it does do and arguably half works at a lot of those things. So usually when I'm thinking like the future of WordPress, especially the immediate future, I don't think WordPress is going to stop being a taped together piece of software, really, for want of a better term. I don't think it's going to change to being heavily organized, object-oriented, nice libraries, very good developer tooling. I just don't think that that is on the cards for the immediate future. You can't usher in a change like that, I don't think anyway, without several years. Now, it may be that we can transition, transitioning to front-end will even help that by building things on the REST API. Let's say we make a new admin, right? That's the pipe dream of whatever, it's on the REST API. Will we just be in exactly the same situation, but with a bunch of front-end code, JavaScript libraries, which we're also dealing with backwards compatibility issues of? So like for me, it's been a long time where WordPress has been quite similar, really. And I guess when you said, what is WordPress going to do in the immediate future? I see that being very, very incremental. I don't see any big changes necessarily coming like that.
So is there something that's on your wish list that you think is a practical change that is realistic?
My kind of pet project is to try and move several things in the WordPress admin to using the REST API to have a little bit of better UX with those. On the bigger end.
Did QuickDraft make it in 4.7 or no?
QuickDraft didn't.
It got complicated.
That well could be ready. Like, that is a very simple thing. One thing that I'd really like is WP List Table to be backed by JavaScript and explorable that way, live searching pretty much everywhere where you can do it for any resource type. I think those things are kind of easier to get in. They don't require a paradigm shift.
And all post types endpoint will probably have to be part of that, right? For a search.
I don't think it would work that way. There's been talk of a generic search endpoint which would return, like, here's the post, here's the pages, here's the other post types for that. It's probably the way to go with that. But I think there's the immediate future I see, anyway, is the admin, frankly, being a lot better to use in terms of performance that's primarily powered by the REST API because of that. Much less clicking, reloading a page, and waiting. I'd really like it if we could somehow establish an architecture to introduce single page application into the admin. So maybe when you're on your post list page and you click edit post, that you can somehow load that in the same page and do that via JavaScript.
Maybe not a single page application, but a 1.5 page application.
Yeah, exactly. Like just some framework to actually allow for that kind of stuff. Maybe the settings, you could maybe do something like that.
Yeah. Or like saving a draft post. Like there's
I mean, that one would be nice, but unfortunately you're going to have to,
it gets complicated.
It's going to be incredibly complicated.
Welcome to WordPress.
That's why I kind of went with settings. Maybe settings are a little simpler. So,
I have something on my wish list, which 4.7 started on this front, and I would really like to see that continue to move forward, which is the new user experience of you launch a new website and you want to create a menu. And when you create that menu, the first things you're going to put on there is about and contact and whatever, but you haven't created your about page, your contact page. So like you need to be able to say add about and create new page at the same time. And you need to be able to have this flow within the customizer experience, which I guess is pretty much the settled on new user tool. I want to see that experience be a singular flow versus like hopping back and forth constantly.
Yeah, no, I understand what you mean. Like it's kind of like if you use something like Squarespace, there's usually a journey to what you're doing. Even if it's not a completely scripted journey, there is like an order that you do things in and add to your site and things. The WordPress way isn't like that. It's piecemeal of like changing little bits at a time until you get the site to look at you want. I think we talked about this before. My general thought on this is like, I'm not sure how much of a journey you can create around such a broad use case that WordPress exists for. And I don't think the siloing, like, create your site, what do you want to do? Do I want a blog? Do I want a business? Like, I don't think that you're going to be able to bracket it that way. So I'm not really sure how you add rhyme or reason to software like WordPress, which has such a broad use case, I guess,
We could at least create a framework, though, to where if individual people managing websites, whether it's a host or a software as a service or whatever, can extend WordPress to create a flow for themselves. And right now, that is quite difficult.
Yeah, certainly. Like there's, I think the bigger point there is like WordPress could establish patterns and APIs that wouldn't even need to be necessarily codified, but more consistency in the way that people build things with WordPress maybe would help a lot with that as well. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the setup process across themes isn't incredibly coherent, comparing one theme to another. Though I know themes that are relatively controlled to things like plugins.
And that's somewhat of a WordPress.org problem too, is if it's a freely distributed theme, like WordPress.org has to support some of the features that might be in that preview. Things that aren't just
The starter content in 4.7, I think, will hopefully help with this in terms of understanding what you need to change in your theme to change things where. That's been a big problem, and that's, I think, a step in the right direction for people that are setting up new sites. It's going to be, hopefully, a better experience.
And that's the other big thing for me is, like, I don't want to create a new site and have to delete sample page, WordPress comment. And things like that that are pointless steps that require multiple administrative trips back and forth to get rid of or alter or whatever. And there's several tickets that I don't know if they've 100% gone through or like where they're at exactly, but it could make the experience of creating your kind of base level content a lot smoother for your average user. Like, I would feel much more comfortable, for instance, with the default page being about, like, 90% of websites would just leave that be. But there were, like, these weird blockers for that, because if you
there's always
crash,
reasons
it'll be like
WordPress,
about dash two and you never can change it again or something ridiculous. But those are the problems to me that seem like worth solving in order to improve 90%
right.
of your website.
Do you, I mean, I presume you do, but I guess I'm thinking of a lot of things which are important to the architecture. Right? Let's take the supported media types of WordPress, right? Right now you can upload images and you can upload audio and you can upload video, but video and audio, there's no processing or anything.
And then PDF.
And PDF, you can't do things like SVG. There's a lot of like just extensions, right? Incremental things like that you could do in WordPress. If you had, you know, a few thousand hours of developer time to put on WordPress, like, are you coming at it from a point of improving those types of things? Or do you think that, like, we're all, like, really need to turn around and look at things like the new user experience and the you know, flows people are taking? Go do something like putting analytics in the dashboard that you could turn on so we could really understand how people are using the dashboards and focus on that, you know, how people are actually using the software.
I don't necessarily think we need thousands of hours from, like, new stuff, because I think we need better communication with people that have a lot of that data. So Automattic has a lot of that data. GoDaddy has a lot of that data. EIG has a lot of that data. And if we can convince them that it's worth tracking that information for their own business and then sharing that information with WordPress in an anonymized way that shows what their new user experience looks like, then that teaches us a lot of things that we get for free and we don't have to spend thousands of hours redoing those things. And if we work as a community with the community advocates or liaisons or whatever from some of these big companies that have a lot of installs, I think we can accomplish a lot of that stuff with a lot less man hours of our
right. I guess it's a, you would presumably need some man hours after you've done that discovery, right? And you're like, holy shit, people don't even understand that there's,
there goes,
like,
our G rating.
Sorry. people don't even understand the concept of like media being attached to posts or whatever.
Right.
So presumably there would be some outcomes to that, which we would want to change things.
Yeah. I don't know, but I do think that simplification is my ideal thing.
Mm-hmm.
So let's stop our immediate futures conversation there, because I want to get into the Q&A. We got a couple of questions here. But first, first let's pay some bills, because this episode...
This is the bit where I'd be very quiet.
This episode, like today, is made possible due to... partners that help us with everything that we do at PostStatus. Today, I want to actually feature some of the partners that made the conference possible, both our platinum and gold partners. So Pagely was our platinum partner, which means they shelled out a lot of money to help make PostStatus Publish happen. They're a small business, but they do really big things with hosting. So please check out Pagely. Go to pagely.com. Thank you to them for being our platinum partner for PostStatus Publish and being a partner on PostStatus in general year-round. And also our gold partners, Envato, SiteGround, and Prest, all very interesting companies. Envato can help you with your infrastructure and get selling your product quickly so that you can worry about making a nice theme or plugin, and you can price it your own way, and you can have the infrastructure and the marketing built in through the Envato platform and marketplace. Prest, start your own white label managed hosting company, which is crazy.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, so it's like they have the infrastructure on AWS or something like that, and then you can do the branding and the marketing, and they handle the tier one like technical support plus the infrastructure. So your theme company can say, buy some hosting, and it's you set the price point, and there's like these different layers of that. And then it's a rev share. It's really a clever idea that Prest is
Josh in the audience, maybe. Is that
So that's Prest.net.
Pantheon moving to Prest.
So that's Prest.net. And then SiteGround. I've been with SiteGround for years and years. It's ridiculous. They do things that nobody else does at a shared level.
In a good way.
In isolation. Yeah, from isolating accounts and creating performance benefits and They make these things available at like $3.95 a month or something insane like that.
Crazy.
And then you can scale up from there. So four partners that I'm proud to say supported this event and support PostStatus, and I'm thankful for them. So thank you to those partners. So let's get to the Q&A, and Daniel has the mic in his hand, ready to go.
As I've had it the whole time.
Light it up.
So I think an important question to ask when talking about the near future of WordPress is, what are you trying to optimize for? You know, I think you guys were talking about different features that would affect different usage patterns of the product. And I know historically, in the last couple of years, there's been a lot of work going towards internationalizing WordPress, because there's actually a huge opportunity for growth of, WordPress
usage. Huge opportunity for growth, and yet it's non-English language is a majority of WordPress downloads.
Sure, right.
But it could be 75% or 80%.
Right, and so when we're talking about like optimizing the settings view or something, it's like, well, a lot of those settings are even kept around for backwards compatibility reasons. You know, it's hard to get rid of, but when you're talking about optimizing them, you're kind of optimizing something that, you know, it's not going to have a significant impact or use impact on WordPress.
So you're asking, who is WordPress for?
Well, no, I don't want to open that can of worms. But I want to ask, like, when you guys are talking about optimizing certain features, like, what are you trying to optimize for?
So, my take wasn't one of market share. I really don't care about the WordPress market share. And whether that is like 5 or 40%, I don't think it matters in any meaningful way. I think the majority of WordPress sites out there anyway are probably spam and not used. So those real numbers don't really matter. I would say I'm generally, I don't have a first principle for what is better or worse software, but I do kind of have, you know, just an experience-based one. And the people that I am making websites for broadly, I want it to be the nicest experience for them. Now, that's a lot of use cases, so that's why I don't really have any incredibly specific things that I just want to make better. I think that people enjoy using things which load faster, appear to load faster, and make them feel more productive. That's where most of the motivation for me comes from, to change things in WordPress. I don't have an axiom that necessarily says that is the best thing to do. That's just really based off of, you know, my just experience of using software as well.
I think that goal is the most far-reaching goal to all these user types, is speed. I love looking at the Basecamp 3 story. I know some people from user experience may not like Basecamp 3 because they liked Basecamp 2 for that purpose or whatever. But from a raw speed perspective, like, Basecamp 3 was designed to load fast as crap. Like, that was the whole goal, because people don't want to spend extra time in their project management software. And I think that correlates really well to your content management software. And when I'm writing a blog post, when I'm managing content, I want those pages to load really, really fast. And I think that serves the enterprise user base, and I think that serves the consumer user base. And other components of, say, the admin experience, which is really where most of the complaints probably are about WordPress, but the meta boxes and the custom fields, like, there's a lot of self-created problems of, like, crappy plugin usage or whatever. But the core thing that everyone can agree on is it needs to be fast. And, you know, Pantheon or Pagely or whatever, they can do some stuff to try to make that faster. But you could very well have a pretty optimized setup for what WordPress can do and still sit there and watch a page reload for like 6 seconds. And that's not acceptable for a good user experience in WordPress. And I think if we work on those problems, then we can do a lot of good optimizing, whether it's consumer or enterprise grade.
And I think, just coming back to Daniel's question there, I'm somewhat uncreative, I think, in my thinking. I would agree with that. I really see WordPress now, and I want to make that product the same but better, really, as a better implementation of that product. I'm not really one that thinks that WordPress will change a huge amount or needs to. I do kind of like the idea that WordPress is this CMS. It's not going to become something like, you know, random example, Facebook or whatever. It is kind of, it does have certain confines. I just think there are better implementations of a lot of those things that it does already do, or a little further that you could push them, like just, you know, supporting more media types or something. I don't really have a grander vision for what that software really is at its core.
To me, I think speed is a really great start, but it really starts laying down a lot of domino effects, because as you increase speed, then you don't have to make everything one click away. So right now, like if you're on a edit post screen, you could also click 80 other links if you're an admin, because you got every left-hand side admin screen and like all these other things that are distracting from the experience. So I think as you make the general WordPress admin experience faster, you can also do things like take away some of the options from each page view, so that when you're looking at the admin, you're doing whatever the thing is that's on that page, whether it's editing a post or changing some settings or whatever, so that you can actually take some other stuff out of the process a little bit. Because if you want to get to there, like two clicks is fine because they took a half second a piece, not like two clicks that took 9 seconds a piece or whatever.
Right. I think you see that when comparing to native applications a lot. Though it's true that maybe more, you know, the Windows 98 kind of era, you did get a lot of buttons on one screen. But native doesn't really have those same performance implications, right? Your phone doesn't have a million buttons at once.
You have a gear icon, and that like sends you to the place where you manage.
Right, is maybe better than that. I don't know if that edit post screen of like 20 meta boxes and, you know, all of that other stuff would be like that if it weren't for the technological trade-offs that had to be made with, like, well, as we're doing a trip to the server, let's make sure we load everything.
Sure.
So maybe some things can change because of that.
Can I answer what you're talking about?
I got a good follow-up question, don't worry.
All right. Davis has a question.
Sure. Well, a lot of us here, I think, you know, make our business on that upper part of the market. And I guess my question is, what one feature or architectural quirk do you think would cause that top of the market to make different decisions about their CMS than, you know, the other 90, 95% of the user base?
So you mean like what's going to make somebody in the enterprise level choose WordPress?
Or not choose WordPress.
Or not choose WordPress.
What doesn't it have?
Like what one feature, architectural kind of aspect?
I don't personally, Christina talked about this a good bit today. I don't know that it's necessarily something WordPress can't do, but especially within publishers, there's this like inherent love. As you know, you came from the Philly media world. Or not just Philly, but, you know, media, the publishing world. Like, there's this inherent desire to have a technology stack behind your publication that gives it some weird additional value to just being people that put out great content and don't have to worry too much about their stack. And I think WordPress itself needs to make a better argument for being the central place that you distribute to a variety of other places from. So wherever your central storage unit is where your business value comes from. And I think a lot of companies are hesitant to make WordPress that for reasons Joe might be able to express better. But I feel like there's a hesitation to make WordPress that kind of central storage unit, because a lot of companies are really avoiding that, or they're opting for proprietary CMSs that they can then do a variety of other stuff around, like whether it's advertising or licensing or whatever.
At a technical level, I'm not sure if there's a great deal. There's a couple of things that we run into that a lot of the time enterprises aren't used to. So like the incredibly dynamic nature of WordPress isn't necessarily something they're used to. Maybe more used to a file system type-based thing. They don't really get the idea that there's no such thing as like pushing your, or necessarily anyway, like pushing your content to the CDN, right? Most of that is done at the origin. I don't think that's a bad thing. That's just like in my experience that comes up a fair bit. It's just people that are incredibly conservative with their technology don't really like the idea of there being live servers serving every page, right, where somebody can accidentally hit publish and so kind of controls, I guess. WordPress is a user piece of software. It doesn't have those controls that enterprise is really used to.
Not to pull you in further, but like, I'm curious what you think WordPress needs in that regard.
I've pondered this question a bit recently, and I think collaborative editing is going to be the one feature that might be difficult to implement in the WordPress environment that consumers are really accustomed to at this point.
Yeah, the whole Google Docs to WordPress thing is a common request because Google Docs has kind of nailed collaborative editing.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'd rather support Google Docs and making the transition from Google Docs to WordPress better than trying to reinvent something that Google does really, really well.
But that could be, in not too long, that could be the de facto way of writing content.
That's true.
So what
and
do we do with
that? That said, there's Blanca, I know her name. She was here today. They are coming out with like a collaborative editing tool for WordPress that's like, it looks very much like the interface of Google Docs, but it's for WordPress. And like a tool like that is really powerful if it can happen. But my fear is that you don't have the team of Google, you know, and Google Docs is a big project for Google. It's not the same as like, not to pick on them, but like Automattic's commitment to edit flow. You know, like edit flow is not a... That was for Daniel. So Automattic's not... edit flow is not really their thing. Like they're not... It's not a primary...
That's pretty generous.
Yeah. But Google Docs for Google is a big deal. Like that's... You know, they're competing against Microsoft 365 and stuff like that. So going against that with some WordPress plugin gives me a little bit of fear. Again, to go back to what Christina said, like it's like saying, let's start an e-commerce software today to go up against WooCommerce when WooCommerce has 30% of the e-commerce market share and probably 85% or more of the WordPress e-commerce market share. So it's a tough battle.
I've got a question.
And then John has a question.
Sorry.
No, you ask your question
right, okay.
First, John.
So it just came to me when you said WooCommerce. Do you think that there are strong parallels between WordPress's ride and WooCommerce? Like I was fairly surprised when I learned that WooCommerce is something like 30% of all online stores or something.
Yeah, so...
What things do you think those two projects have in common? Because neither of them seem like some people call WordPress an anomaly for doing what it's done, but I kind of look at WooCommerce and it looks very similar in a lot of ways.
For a lot of the same reasons.
Right. What do you think those reasons are?
WordPress has this huge market share. There's really not very many e-commerce websites in the world in comparison to non-e-commerce websites. So if you install WooCommerce on a lot of WordPress websites, then you're going to gain a lot of market share within the e-commerce space in general. But that doesn't mean you get the brand recognition per se. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is you have a furniture store that's local to the Philadelphia area, and it's a boutique store that sells in Philly, but then they add an e-commerce component to their marketing website, and WooCommerce gives a pretty low barrier to entry to saying, like, here's our store. And people can make this like soft entrance to e-commerce versus going all in on a Magento site that could cost $200,000 to develop and maintain. It's got extreme licensing obligations, et cetera. Whereas WooCommerce is more like Shopify. It's like use it to the degree that you need to
right.
get the job done.
So do you think that it's almost unfair to really say, like, it may have 30% of sites. Does it have anywhere near the, like, let's say 30% of transactions?
Revenue?
Online.
No.
That would be a very different statement.
It's not even close.
I guess
it's like
maybe I should take that number with quite a grain of salt because, like you say, somebody just had a website and now they're like, it was about their chairs and now they're like, oh, why don't I just chuck these chairs up for sale as well? And, you know, they added WooCommerce to their site to do that. That isn't quite the same as
you exclude like news and publishing organizations from WordPress market share. I would compare it to the way WordPress plays in, say, the government landscape or the corporate landscape.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to like the S&P 500, WordPress doesn't play the same role as like your primary web presence that it does mm-hmm. with like all these ad agencies building websites for local people. WooCommerce is the same. Once you get to the top 1,000 e-commerce websites in the world,
none of them are WooCommerce.
It's not none necessarily, but WooCommerce is gonna still be in have a lot of growing pains compared to a proven Magento or a Shopify that scales on a hosted mm-hmm. platform, and WooCommerce still stores orders in the product in the post table. Mm. And like has posted.
So how do you take these numbers, like 30% of the web WordPress? Like I say, I tear down with
this. It's long tail stuff. Right. Like you own the long tail.
But does that really mean very much? I feel like we kind of all somewhat collectively are proud of that number.
Because,
but it's not quite true that a third of websites that you visit are WordPress sites.
But like.
I don't think that is true.
I think it probably is.
Yeah.
Do you use a WAPalyzer or something that tells you the CMS? Because it's.
I don't know, but I don't. As silly as this sounds, I don't. Like, I have a few very common visited websites, and I'm. You know, post status, though I'd like it to be one of those, I'm afraid. It isn't at the moment. But. I like with the WooCommerce thing, is it a similar story, therefore, on the WordPress side? That, you know, I can say 30% of e-commerce stores, but like if I said that to my family, right, that are just using the internet, I probably couldn't say to them, well, 30% of the stores that you buy something online are WooCommerce.
Right, because they buy 95% of their stuff on Amazon.
Well, yeah, exactly. I just wonder, I don't really know how to interpret
e-commerce
numbers
is more,
like 30.
E-commerce is an even more top-heavy landscape than non-e-commerce websites.
Right.
So... the long tail ownage that WooCommerce has,
ownership
of the market that WooCommerce has, is even longer of a tail than WordPress as a CMS.
Right.
But what you said earlier was on point. I think that it is following a similar path to what WordPress plays, where it's like get the broad base on the bottom, get the long tail, and then work your way up and work your way into government. Like
right,
to me,
right.
Drupal for publishing is what Magento is for e-commerce. Mm-hmm. Like a not as good user experience, a slower development experience, a lot more corporate interest, but proven at the high levels. And WordPress and WooCommerce or whatever is having to prove itself in that same arena. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's something that comes with time, but it requires a lot of good decisions along the way. All right, John.
So this is for Joe. I've actually written it down. Yeah, right.
Wow.
So there's been a vocal community against the merge of the REST API into core. And I think, and they think it should remain a plugin. By the way, this is not my view, but I thought it should be something that should be answered because I've been asked and I have no idea how to answer that. So that it should be remain a plugin that a default functionality that most users and users won't care about. And it shouldn't be there by default. And there are also questions about how limited call time is now used to focus on the REST API instead of fixing existing user experiences. And what do you think, what do you have to say about pushing towards a merge to core? What real advantage does it have to being in core as compared to it remaining a featured project?
Sure.
So benefits of the API in core versus feature project.
Yeah, so... one of the first things you said, I think, or maybe in the middle, was should we be putting this time elsewhere? Like, because if this isn't a super valuable time thing, on one hand, you could say, wow, we've all just wasted a lot of time on that, right? Think how great WordPress could be if we hadn't spent a lot.
Well, mostly you and Daniel, Rachel and Ryan.
So yeah, and that's my question. Like, I wouldn't have done all that time. I don't think that Daniel or Ryan or Rachel would probably, I don't think that was just available hours for the project, right? Like it is in an agency or something where you have all these hours available. So I think really WordPress, you've got to just take the projects that come along and you've got to take them for what they are, and it's not necessarily transferable. As to like whether we objectively know actually how valuable this is, like actually is this a good idea? That's a difficult question. We don't really have an objective way to measure that, especially ahead of time. We may be able to answer that in a couple of years when we're like, wow, we really really misjudged that one. Or we might be saying, wow, that's why WordPress is now at the success that it is in a couple of years. I think there's a strong enough pattern that software that is built on the web is going to an API-driven approach with the freedoms that that allows and things. So I think there's just a strong enough precedent there to say WordPress also needs one of these. And that's essentially where it started out, right? Is it wasn't this grand vision of like, oh my God, the future of WordPress is REST APIs. Ryan just created a 500-line patch. He was like, well, WordPress should probably have a REST API. Everybody else does, and they're using this. So it was never really never, it was never intended to redefine what WordPress was or anything. It was just kind of a bolt-on. I would say a lot of that is because, like, over the past 4 years, the web has come a long way. We can clearly see that REST APIs really do power a lot of things now, do enable a lot of new user experiences. And there may be an element of rhetoric to actually get traction there, which maybe was necessary. But I do think that... there's a lot of new things that can be built with it. It's not taking anything away from WordPress. The time that was there that enabled that to be built was by people that were passionate about that specific thing and weren't ready just to go and spend it elsewhere in WordPress.
I know this was a question for Joe, but I have thoughts.
Yeah, no, absolutely, jump in. So
You might get mad at me for making the comparison, but to me... you can see this in industries across the board where one business or one like influential stakeholder makes a decision to support something and then that becomes the standard beyond that. So a weird one that I have is like, I think it was Disney that chose Blu-ray versus like HD DVD or some other standard. So like Blu-ray became a standard because Disney chose it.
It might have been the adult industry as well.
Yeah, that was VHS versus Betamax, I'm pretty sure. I just wasn't going to use porn as my example.
Okay. Cut that out. Don't worry.
But,
we've lost the label, so it's
like, just to... I wonder, for instance, if WordPress didn't have RSS out of the box, would iTunes have used RSS as a standard for a podcast feed? Because a lot of podcasts are on WordPress. So would iTunes have chosen either a proprietary or different format for iTunes? Because that was 8 years ago or whatever. WordPress was already like a big player. So RSS is read-only, but RESTful interfaces is far more than that. And it has far greater consequences. But WordPress saying, like, this is the way we want you to interact with websites, well, now... we're creating a mechanism for any app to interface with 1/4 of all websites. And not just 1/4 of all websites, but then like other CMSs and other proprietary projects that end up following a similar format because WordPress is such a dominant player in the market. I think we are the Disney in a way of like, we choose Blu-ray and therefore that's what kind of becomes a help.
Right, but I'm not even sure if there is a question anymore that...
that REST is the way?
Right, and I know, like, you know, you may bring up things like GraphQL or something, but I don't think you've really got the whole industry on
but
the
even
mark.
Like a, if you're... even like an interface in general.
As in a programmable, readable interface? Or
yeah.
Right, because we kind of have that with XMLRPC, but... But not really.
And dealing with XMLRPC is a hairier
right.
beast.
So I guess like maybe in response to your question, like maybe there hasn't been a very fundamental look at that question, right? Of like, does WordPress need to expose the things that it has internally, right? I feel like that was kind of a assumption to some degree that it would be a good thing to be able to get data out of WordPress and use it in other ways. I'm quite happy with that assumption still. So I don't think that I need to question its whole existence. As for whether it needs to be included in core and not a plugin, it's true that you get a bunch of the use cases via a plugin. But as Brian says, you know, speaking to a quarter of the internet is a big thing. It's quite possible that other platforms will use similar API or things like that.
And you're enabling a different type of app. by creating a standard interface versus, like, if you were just saying, you know, let's create the front end of some website using JSON data, you can spit out JSON data through custom development with however many hours within a project. But you're creating a standard that's beyond just like theming with JSON data rather than, you know, WordPress templating or whatever. Like you're creating a standard that says like, oh, I'm creating this editing interface or I'm creating this app and it's going to connect to your website and then you can post to your website and then you can do all these things. And to me, that empowers independent publishing more. Like it gives WordPress a leg up potentially in terms of being someone's home of their online life compared to, like, right now, to me, the best user experience is actually Instagram. But why? I take a picture on my phone and then I put it on Instagram and then I like toggle Facebook and Twitter or wherever I want to distribute to. I would love that to be my WordPress website where I own that. Like, it's my picture, I take it, I put it on my website, and then I send it to Instagram and I send it to Twitter or wherever else. You know, like, so Ev Williams can do whatever the hell he wants at Medium, but I don't have to rely on Ev Williams. I can just send it to Medium if I want to. And to me, the REST API really helps with empower apps to be that.
I don't think they say there's a contention of whether REST API is the future. It is the way we are going. But I'm just wondering if it could have, like the REST API team could have retained flexibility and freedom by putting it as a bundled plugin like Jetpack and Akismet.
Jetpack's not a bundled plugin, though. Akismet's the only bundled plugin.
is
anybody from EIG here or any other auto-install
it? It is unusual for a component to take four versions or one whole year to be merged fully in, right?
It is very unusual. But I think that was probably necessary because there hasn't really been anything else quite the same to come along. But it's true. We created a whole component, for example, was considered components in WordPress, and we committed it to WordPress in one foul sweep.
And the REST API is being held to a higher standard because it's got higher stakes.
Maybe half of it's that. Maybe it's very public. So there's a lot of worry around anything that does go wrong is very public. Yeah, I don't want to get too sucked into the politics because, you know, probably rage, but...
I got a perfect follow-up question.
Yeah.
Now you're on.
Follow-up question. Given both of y'all's experience with producing...
Nice y'all, Oregon.
with producing the REST API... What should the WordPress project do differently next time to enable big, hairy goals to be accomplished?
I have you built it, but I have an idea.
Yeah, we'll both give a turn. I think the WordPress benefits from this large thing, like addition in some way. I don't really think that WordPress can improve even with existing implementations in meaningful ways without something like this. So I hope that this isn't seen as a one-off necessarily. So I think that it is a problem that needs to be solved. So what problems do we think we had and which problems we need to solve has to be part of that. And I sincerely hope there is a conversation around that about working out what the biggest struggles were and what are best ways to fix those in the future. I think personally think that the feature project approach is, I want to say not a good one, but I just said it. So, I don't think is a great one because I think it is clearly there to devolve power and responsibility to be more scalable, to allow other teams just to come up with a feature and develop it. And hey, if it's great, then it'll get merged in. I do think that creates too much separation of responsibility, really, in the whole process, whereby you have, it kind of creates a gateholder kind of relationship for the core and trying to get something into core. With a kind of insider-outsider mentality, right, of like, we've gone and developed this as a feature plugin, and even if you're doing the things like you're posting on make WordPress and you're getting beta tested and you've got a channel on the Slack or whatever, that doesn't really get you, you know, it's not being developed inside that circle. So then I think what really happens is you keep developing, and then there's a big difficulty when, one, it comes to trying to get that merged in, right? And at this point, these things are just two different entities. And taking this approach without having cultured that project from the beginning, from the core software's perspective, I don't think that would be great. A common example I think of is, how would you build something like WordPress in a big company where you had a singular effort engineering team, like something like Facebook, and how differently would you do things? And I don't think this approach is realistic for that. Now, we have different challenges, and there are different...
This is like libertarianism. It's like utopian society crap. Like, being a libertarian is a great thought in a horrible reality.
Right, but there are things within the...
I say that as a mostly libertarian person.
yeah, no, exactly. But there are challenges that we have to deal with, right? We don't have people's times necessarily. We can't really project manage things in the same way. So I understand there are a bunch of challenges to that. I just really don't believe that the dynamic that the feature projects creates really encourages anybody. I feel like for me, the REST API team has had to work very difficultly, and even sometimes in spite of the core, which I don't think is the right approach. I think there should be one of much more a shared goal that the two components here can work together, right? And I don't think that dynamic is quite right now. And I think
that's where you nailed it, though. The shared goal is because real product development starts with a real specification of what the product is going to be, and you started this conversation by saying like the REST API was 500 lines of code for like Ryan McHugh saying let's slap some WordPress stuff into JSON. And if a feature project is going to be productive, then it needs a specification. And if you do actual product development, then a specification is going to be a more clear and specific achievement. And the goalposts with the REST API or other feature projects with ambiguous returns, the goalposts move all over the place based on either whims or needs or politics or all sorts of things that may be legitimate in some ways and silly in other ways, but it doesn't matter because the specification did not exist.
I think as well as this, we're working with people, most people volunteer in their own time. So you do have to run...
Just adds difficulty.
Right, which adds a huge amount of difficulty. Like, at least if you've got a product team where everybody's working for the company, there's a kind of expectation that you're still going to get up the next day and carry on working, even though the previous day wasn't fantastic. There are no such ties that really exist in the same way when everybody's volunteers and they're like, well, you know, I'm going to go and do something else and contribute to a different project because I don't feel like this one is really taking me very seriously or whatever. So I think you have to be really quite hypersensitive to people's motivation and things like that. If you really want to culture a community of developers feeling valued and motivated to contribute, I don't think that I'm being too unfair when I say that WordPress is really lacking in that do it from an arm's length and send a patch in, you know, once a release and try and get your name tagged to every release is certainly a great thing to do, and you don't need to deal with any politics because of that. But expect people to do meaningful contribution, which we do need people to do to push WordPress forward. And I think we probably could do a much better job across the board. And this isn't just, a core or lead problem. I think that applies throughout to really be a lot more understanding, encouraging, and motivating to people putting their own time towards it.
Yeah, I think if you apply the cathedral and the bazaar model, WordPress is mostly bazaar.
Yeah.
And we're...
Bazaar or bizarre?
Bazaar. With two A's at the end. I think, right? I'm from Alabama. And I'm three beers deep. So I think... It's trying to create structure out of that. And to me, this is why I've relatively consistently advocated for the role of a product manager for WordPress itself, because that's the cathedral component. The bazaar is who shows up. Mm-hmm. Like, it could be Joe, it could be Daniel, it could be anybody. And I think there's some merit to saying, like, you know, we'll give some degree of control and whatever to the people that are there, rather than like since grand plan. Mm-hmm. But WordPress's general lack of a grand plan, I think, sometimes really hurts it, because product design, product direction is super valuable for something, in my opinion, that's quite important, where last count, several years ago, there's like 20, 30,000 people making their living off WordPress, millions of people that are utilizing it as a significant tool. And yet, if like those of us in this room are friggin' familiar with this project, and if we were all asked to name like who's guiding this project forward, there's gonna be a lot of different answers. And that's not like a known thing per se. Is it Matt Mullenweg? Is it the lead developers? Is it like some community juggernauts? Is it corporations? I don't know, you know, it's like, that's the bazaar. And
but it's like that through and through. It's true that we don't have a grand vision for WordPress. But even for a single version of WordPress, we don't really have a vision.
You have a lead developer.
You have a release lead. Right, a release lead, really, whose responsibility is to make sure things that are ready to go in are able to go in. But there is still no, like you say, no product vision necessarily for that. I know that release leads...
This is a really exciting way to end the podcast. So does anybody have a final question? We are one left. Ryan.
So earlier this afternoon, Matt posted on WordPress.org.
Matt Mullenweg.
2017 is going to be the year we are going to see features in WordPress which require host to have HTTPS available. He goes on to say, early in 2017, we will only promote hosting partners that will provide SSL certificate by default for their accounts. So what do you guys think about hosting providers for WordPress that don't offer that? Because he says that they will only allow certain features to be enabled, such as API authentication, when SSL is present.
It's funny, because that's news to me.
well, that's I run a news time. Site, and that's news to me.
So, I did read this post, actually. I just mean the specifics. I find it a little bit of a contradiction that we will block users from features based off of something that they don't control, when we still enable
PHP
5.2 or 5% of users. Maybe we're putting that behind us. I guess this is a nice segue from the previous conversation of no real. I'm going way off track. God.
Wait, so you're saying the question is about WordPress throwing its weight around.
Yes, I do like this, because we all agree that HTTPS is a great thing to adopt. However, I'm not sure how extreme we want to go with the user type thing, which is a line that we've been peddling for a long time, right? But the REST API authentication one specifically, I think the specifics are like SSL actually doesn't really matter, because OAuth 1 versus OAuth 2 are very...
But this is beyond REST API authentication. This is a general web component of...
I think it is nice to only recommend hosts that are doing that. I'm pretty sure no hosts that are running 5.2, right, are recommended. I think
sure, but like
said in the post that...
If you look at HTTPS, it's going well beyond what PHP... Like it's like Google is saying we're going to... Screw you over in 2017.
But WordPress has kept, or well, Matt really has kept with the users first approach. We generally oppose, I think, the idea that Chrome is going to show a massive warning right to people that aren't on HTTPS. That is anti to the user isn't the one that makes that choice.
Sure.
And the user, in the same way they don't choose what version of PHP they have, they also don't choose whether they're on SSL and don't understand that.
So we have a host in the audience with maybe an opinion.
Hi.
Hello.
Joshua Strobel from Pagely. simple question. So
today Matt has given us some criteria on what is used to decide who .org recommends.
Oh, you're going that way.
Oh, right.
Okay. I thought you were going to talk about HTTPS.
SSL.
You don't care about HTTPS.
SSL is very important to the security and encryption of our
blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, as he's not using
HTTP5. So now we have some clarification. We have one line item. SSL is a checkbox. Okay.
Well,
I mean, can we just go ahead and list any more that we know about? PHP 7?
That was today.
Is this line items?
I feel like you may be getting at some larger point here.
This is a different discussion.
Maybe we should stop recording.
Well, I apologize. I was stirring the pot a little.
No, it's okay.
Is there a question? At least allow us to answer something.
What would, if SSL is one criteria, mm-hmm. what should the other criteria be? To be officially recognized by .org.
Not to overrule whatever Joe might say, but it really doesn't matter what any of us say because it's Matt Mullenweg's website. So it's like saying, who should I recommend as post status as being a host? I can say whatever the hell I want, which is, I host with Pagely, here's my Pagely hosting story, and nobody can tell me to say otherwise. And like, if you want to go, like, if you don't want to pay $500 a month or more, then try SiteGround or, you know, like, here's some options.
Viva SiteGround. I'm wearing their socks today.
You are wearing their socks. So, like, I can say that because that's my personal opinion of what I think people should do. But so I can say that because that's what I think people should do. And that's my right because it's my website. And we all have to come to terms with the fact that WordPress.org, as much as it's the home base of the WordPress open source software, WordPress.org has open source components, but it's Matt Mullenweg's website.
Brian, this is why you're so successful. Quick sidebar. This is why you're so successful with post status, because you tell it from a unbiased, like, 10,000-foot view. And I think this is why you're doing so well and events like this went off so well.
Well, thanks.
I'll have what he's having.
Yeah, I'll take that plug, and I'll end the podcast with it. So, Joe, give me your final thoughts. What do you want to see with WordCamp US?
I forgot we got WordCamp US. Like, that's how great this event
it's
was.
It's just convenient. It's just conveniently like right after post status published. What do you want to see this week, and then we'll end people. In the pain here.
The byline of this conference was, which was the hallway track, I'm really just looking forward to hanging out and talking to people. And really just finding out what people are up to. I think WordCamp US is always a great opportunity to really get a general vibe of how people are feeling about, you know, WordPress generally. State of the Word is great for that as well, and people's reaction to it. So I really see, you know, WordCamp US being a quite central event, just as a way to kind of, you know.
Did you say a quite sexual event?
Central. you're really screwing up our family-friendly rating here. I'll finish my point regardless. The unique nature of this event is good to see, like, you know, get a kind of snapshot of the whole community and see kind of where things are likely to be headed. Last year, we saw that maybe didn't move quite as quick with the whole learn JavaScript deeply, all of that kind of thing. REST API was a big component of that. Who knows what we're going to get this year?
Yeah, I think I mostly agree with that. I do think we will see some announcements from folks that like to time things. So I think there's a few interesting things that we're likely to see starting tomorrow or yesterday, depending on when you're listening to this. But it's the main WordCamp, WordCamp San Francisco, WordCamp US now, is always an interesting time to see where a lot of the biggest businesses, a lot of the ambitious businesses, where they're moving and where they're shaking. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens beyond the open source community, which is much more visible, and into the private industry community to see what people are working on and what we'll see for the next year. So that's what I'm excited about.
And with that, that's the PostStatus Draft podcast, which is being recorded at PostStatus Publish. I have multiple PostStatuses. Post-status.
Events lined up.
In this episode. We don't have any future publish events scheduled. It's a possibility, though. We could do it. We'll have to get some feedback to see what people think if we need to do this again. It'll be a standalone event if we do it again.
Just like this one.
So thank you for everybody for paying attention. We need like all 70 people here to clap. So you can follow Joe at Joe_Hoyle, and you can follow me at Krogsgaard, and go to postatus.com/club and sign up, just like our live audience all did, because they're the best. And we will see y'all next time. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks.